Our first reading this morning is a poem that I wrote about my father, My Father's Hands. How ironic that I should be dating a man with an electronic putting machine. Still, it gave me the opportunity to demonstrate my father's putting technique. With affectionate humor, I tamp down the carpet on either side of the ball with the head of the putter, shifting weight from foot to foot, surveying the plastic cup across the room, looking down at the ball, and then up to the cup again, carefully calculating how the nap of the carpet will affect the course of the putt. And out of the past, your hands grasp mine, soft hands but firm, wrapping around my hands, wrapped around the putter, your arms encircling my body, your head next to mine, voicing putting instruction from within a secure golf embrace. I am on the course with you once more. A Michigan summer day, big cloud sky, holding the flag as you chip from just off the green, finishing putts when your ball stops short, peering curiously over the rim, refusing to drop into the dark metal cup. I never used my father's lessons for golf, except to entertain my friends. The humor was lost, however, on the man with the electronic putting cup. An avid golfer, he nodded seriously and conferred on the green with my absent father, conscious of the importance of golf wisdom. How conscious was I of wisdom imparted? How conscious was I of the love I felt through my father's hands? I begin this morning with a story told on National Public Radio some years ago by Robert Winnie, incidentally from Bonner's Ferry, Idaho, which was titled, I Thought My Father Was God. The story recounts Winnie's reminiscence of his childhood during World War II, though his most vivid memories were more of family life than anything about the war. He writes, "What I remember most is Mr. Bernhauser. He was our backyard neighbor. He was especially mean and unfriendly to kids, but he was also rude to adults. He had a plum tree that hung over our back fence. If the plums were on our side, we could pick them. But God help us if we got over the line. All hell would break loose. He would scream and yell at us until one of our parents came out to see what the fuss was about. Usually it was my mother, but this time it was my father. My father asked what the problem was. Mr. Bernhauser took a deep breath and launched into a diatribe about thieving kids, breakers of rules, takers of fruit, and monsters in general. I guess my father had had enough. For the next thing he did was shout at Mr. Bernhauser and tell him to drop dead. Mr. Bernhauser stopped screaming, looked at my father, turned bright red, and then purple, grabbed his chest, turned gray, and slowly folded to the ground. I thought my father was God. That he could yell at a miserable old man and make him die on command was beyond my comprehension. This story rather sums up our standard stereotype of masculinity, of fathers who are strong and decisive, the family disciplinarian who can fix anything, and when occasion calls for it, muster near superhuman forces to bring his will to bear upon the world. When we celebrate Mother's Day, it is tempting to talk with soaring praise of idealized, unconditional, self-sacrificing mother love baked right into cookies. And when we do, it almost instantaneously makes someone feel inadequate. The people whose mothers never met that ideal, whose love was a little or even a lot less than that kind of perfect. The fully human mothers who feel guilty because they know they never measured up. The men who love their children just as fully, but feel like their love is not recognized as being as pure and exalted. Yet, when we honor fathers, we can just as easily fall into the myth of power and strength, the sense of safety a father is supposed to engender. Fathers who teach their children to play catch, fix cars, teach them how to fish, even try to teach them how to golf. The disciplinarians who have difficulty expressing their love. There is truth in these stereotypes, as there is in all stereotypes. They really only become harmful when they become rigid and prescriptive, as if every father or mother is supposed to act in a certain way. Every one of us, man or woman, falling into gender stereotypes. It is not surprising to me that my poem about my father recalled his hands so powerfully. They were capable hands, hands that did make me feel safe and loved by a father who rarely spoke of his love, by a father whose quick temper frightened me throughout much of my childhood. And yet, somehow, perhaps through those capable hands, he did manage to communicate his own human and complicated love to me. Just for the record, I do know that Father's Day is not until next week. Nor is Father's Day, or Mother's Day for that matter, a religious holiday. Yet because we celebrate the fullness of human expression, then let us on this day look toward next Sunday and celebrate and reflect upon fathers and fatherhood. We can also anticipate Pride Weekend, which is also next week, as Father's Day so often falls on Pride Day, And Pride Day is a significant Sunday in our liturgical year. And that is another reason that we can give fathers short shrift. Yet hopefully, we can use both Pride Weekend and Father's Day to counter the shallow gender stereotypes about fathers that are rife among us, and come to a fuller and deeper understanding of fatherhood and masculinity. For we all have both masculine and feminine energy within us. The circling black and white yin-yang symbol depicts this so very well. The black yin side represents feminine energy and yet has within it a drop of the white masculine yang side, and vice versa. We all have a little yin in our yang and a little yang in our yin. The two wrapping around each other in a swirling circle of darkness and light. Both energies are divine, the strong mother God and the warm father God. That's one of the things about gender identity and gender expression. It's really not a binary system. It's more of a spectrum, and quite nuanced at that. While most people are generally pretty female or generally pretty male, we all have a mixture within us, and we all fall along a continuum. Now, some folks can feel threatened when they hear this, like it's somehow disturbing a natural or God-given order of things. It can be a little mind-bending to think that there is not just male and not just female, but all sorts of gender identities and ways to express them. But once I get past the mind-bending part, I find the whole thing really quite liberating. I never was much of a girly girl, my present-day love of shoes notwithstanding. As a girl, I was little and wiry and strong, so I could climb higher in trees than just about anyone else in the neighborhood. I would scramble to the very top and hang on while the tree swayed. And when you're way up at the top of the tree, you don't need a wind to sway. Trees just move very gently. I was so terribly proud when an older boy told me that I had intestinal fortitude. I am clearly my mother's daughter. I look so much like her. Yet the fearless tree climber comes straight from my dad, the man whose short fuse I grew up fearing. Dad was, in so many ways, a man of his generation. He worked hard and supported his family. He expected a lot of all of us. He often worked 12 and 14-hour days and would come home impatient and short-tempered. My brothers, sister, and I were all happier when he was away on business trips. Then my father retired at age 55. We all wondered what he would do without this career at which he worked with such drive. But Dad knew exactly what he was doing. He had worked hard, and now he planned to play just as hard. It took a while for me to get used to this new father. He suddenly became this great guy who loved to laugh and joke and tease. He had this cackling, delighted laugh and a mischievous sparkle in his eye. In retrospect, I realize I had actually known this man all along. For now I can see just how much of him there is in me. And not just because now my hair is short and gray. My father had a crew cut his entire life. And I look in the mirror and, oh well. More than anything, my father taught me how to live. He truly relished being alive. He was honest and fair and straightforward. He abhorred pretension. He tried to enjoy every possible minute of his life. He worked hard, played hard. He gave generously of his time, his money, his laughter, his spirit. One of my most vivid memories is the mornings that Dad would drag me out on the front porch in my pajamas and bare feet. Now, I take after my mother in not being much of a morning person, but Dad would wrap an arm around my shoulders and say, "Isn't it a wonderful morning? Isn't it great to be alive?" My withering, disdainful, eye-rolling did nothing to dampen his enthusiasm. My father was a generous man with a far softer heart than he let on. Except that as he grew older and he could see the end of his life approaching, the life he cherished so deeply, he actually sometimes became sentimental and sweet. He could even get a bit teary. And sometimes he even told me he loved me. And yes, he is the man who tried to teach me golf, wrapping his arms around me from behind, wrapping his own hands around mine as they grasped the club, his resonant voice in my ear. In such moments, I did feel held and loved and secure. I never much cared about the golf, but I did cherish the moments of tenderness. It took me some time to get to know this post-retirement father, and luckily I had that time. There were bumps and tensions, but by the time of his death, it wasn't that I had forgiven him, really. It was more that there simply didn't seem anything left to forgive. I never did think my father was God, but over the years, I got to see and understand the fullness of the man, his humanity and his goodness, and I can see so clearly his gifts to me. So on this day, this week, next Sunday, let us honor all fathers and the wonderful masculine energy that flows through the universe and through us all in animating and enlivening the world. Let us honor all the people, men and women, who have fathered us. Let us honor the fatherly energy in each of us. Third century Church Father Irenaeus said, "The glory of God is a human being who is fully alive." If this is so, then our greatest task is to be fully alive, as fully realized as we can be. If this is so, then my father lived a successful and meaningful life. If this is so, we can joyfully embrace all the genders within us. If this is so, then we can carry the wisdom of our fathers, whatever it may be, within us as well. As we honor our fathers this day, this week, fathers who loved us well and kept their promises, and fathers who did not. Let us recognize both the father and the mother within us. Let us realize ourselves as fully as we can. Be we mostly masculine with a little feminine within us, or mostly feminine with a little masculine, or somewhere smack in the middle. May we grow in self-understanding and forgiveness. May we forgive what yet needs to be forgiven of our parents, of our fathers. And may we take the lessons from our fathers and let them help us to be the fully human beings we are meant to be. The glory of God is a human being who is fully alive. Let us be so. Amen. And blessed be.